Morning. Let's turn to Proverbs, chapter 16, verses 1, 2, 3. 16, 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, and 3. The plans of the heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray, God, that as we come and listen to your word, and as we worship, Father, that you deposit a truth, God, that you reveal to us more of your glory, more of who you are, Lord, and more of what you have in store for us, God, and how we can respond to you, Lord. So, Father, we just come to you today. We humble ourselves, God, to receive your word. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, it's going to be fairly simple, I think. I always liked Proverbs 16:3. It's one of my verses that I really clung on to when I was trying to figure out, when after I moved to Hong Kong, I was trying to figure out how to progress in my career and what I should do. And is actually, I read this in a time where I wasn't doing very well in terms of my career, or I thought it wasn't. In hindsight, I was actually doing very well in my career, but I was struggling with a lot of my duties at work, and I really didn't want to do them because it's like I didn't really see the point in them. And it's actually during that time that I think God was really leading me through a season of just really learning to trust in him, even though I couldn't see what he was doing in, I guess, my works. And it was during this time that I fell upon this verse, or I came upon this verse, and it really struck me, and I think really changed how my perspective in terms of how, at least for me, how my career was going. And I hope that as you listen, that God can speak to you, you know, hopefully in the same way, or if I can convey my heart correctly, that it can speak to you in the same way. So this idea of committing your works to the Lord, I was thinking, God, you know, I'm trying to do everything. Like, I came to Hong Kong, I moved to Hong Kong because you asked me to. And so obviously everything that I'm doing, I'm committing to you, I'm giving it to you. But, you know, none of this is coming through. None of this is really, or I don't see the fruit of, or I don't see the reason why I'm here. I'm stuck in a job that I don't like. I'm doing something that I have no idea how to do. And it took a long time, but, and really it's how verses 1 and 2 speak. It took a long time, but in the midst of it, or it took a long time for me to actually realize, like, oh, I'm actually not committing my works to the Lord, even though I'm saying it. And a lot of the times that's kind of what happens. Like, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. But at the same time, we're still holding on, and we don't want to let go of our lives and how we go about doing things. And sometimes I feel like even when we say, God, we're committing our works to you, God is like, well, I never asked you to do these things. Like, you're doing these things, but I never asked you to do them. And I think that's where verses 1 and 2 really come in. The plans of the heart belong to a man. You know, and as I study this more, that's that connection with verse 3. The plans of the heart belong to man. And in verse 3 it says, and your plans will be established. You know, we really these plans are our long-term goals, how we want our lives to look like. You know, where we live, you know, how much, you know, how big our bank account is, what kind of car we drive. You know, one of my long-term plans when I was a kid was to end up driving a BMW. I know it's a silly thing, but I think the reason why that is because I had this friend in high school, or I guess acquaintance friend, one of those. He drove a BMW. Well, obviously it was his parents, but it was really cool at the time, you know, being in high school, like, oh yeah, let's go for a ride. And he had a stick shift and everything. And so I always wanted to drive a BMW. And as I grew older, I realized that with my pay grade and what I was doing, like, maybe it wasn't the most practical idea. I could have gone out and bought one, but it just wasn't that smart of an idea. And so my plan was to drive a BMW. I'm like, forget it, you know. what ends up happening is my father-in-law has a car and he has a BMW. And basically we have, my wife and I, we have semi-free access to it. I mean, we check with him, do you need the car? But he has a BMW. And I'm like, I come back to this moment where I'm like, I want a BMW. And God's like, okay, you know, these are your plans. How should I put it? I had this, my own plan, where I was like, I want this for myself. And it was only after I began to give these things up where I came to the realization, no, what? It's okay, God, I don't need a BMW, that he actually brought this back, right? Your plans will be established. But when these plans belong to us, when they're our own selfish desires, you know, it's only at the command of God that these things will happen. And that's the second part of verse 1. The plans of a heart belong to a man. My own visions, my own dreams, my own desires, they belong to me. But it is only at the word of God. It is only at the answer of the tongue. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You know, and we think, you know, the answer of the tongue, which means God's word, is the thing that actually makes your plans or your desires come to happen. Because nothing happens without God decreeing it to happen. Nothing happens without God letting it happen. It is God that says, you know, for example, let there be light, and there was light. It is God that gives the ability. It is God that gives the word, and these things come to pass. And it's only when we are able to give up these plans, these long-term goals, these things that we want in our lives, that God says, okay, now I will show you, you know, what it is your plans will be. Verse 2, it says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. See, when I was thinking about, you know, how do I commit my works to the Lord? You know, God, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to move to Hong Kong. I'm going to do my best in this job. I think a lot of the times when we say that, or when we do that, when we offer up our works to the Lord, there's some hidden motivation. There's some, the intent might not be as clear or might not be as altruistic as we make it out to be. See, for me, when I was struggling in my job before I came into ministry, was, you know, Lord, I really want to honor you with my life. I really want to make sure that people know who you are. I want people to know that you are the God of my life. But as the Lord was leading me through the season of, you know, testing, it really came out that, you know, these things that I was really doing, these things that I was saying I was doing for God, it really wasn't for him deep down. Because I remember thinking, man, I see all my coworkers, they're I guess revenue producing coworkers, or they get commission. And for me, I was some kind of support. And I'm like, man, I see, because I kind of understood how their bonus structure played out and how the commission structure worked. I'm like, if I could do what they did, then I wouldn't have to live in my dinky little apartment where the hot water runs out after 5 minutes, where I could get, you know, a really big room, large living room. I mean, Jackie and Rainey used to come to my place for house church, so they know how small it was, and we fit 7 people into my living room. And so I was like, man, if I could do what my coworkers did, then I could afford something bigger. While at the same time, I was saying, you know, God, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to work for you. And, you know, I really want people at work to know that I'm for you. But at the same time, I wasn't really evangelizing to my coworkers. I wasn't really showing them that, or I wasn't really talking to them like, hey, do you know Jesus? I was just like trying to be a good person as opposed to trying to be a Christian. Because we can be, you know, morally good. We can do things well. We don't have to lie. But that doesn't mean that we're Christian. That doesn't separate a Christian from a non-Christian if it just means that you're not lying. So I was thinking that, you know, all my ways are clean, but it was only in my own sight. And God had to lead me through the season where he's like, hey, Andrew, I want to show you what your true intentions are. That you still have to let go of this idea of, you know, you want a BMW. You want this nice house in Hong Kong. You know, you need to make increasing, like, more and more money. And being working in real estate, it was actually very difficult because you got news reports all the time, like, houses have increased, house prices have increased for the past, you know, for 10 consecutive months. And we're like, oh, crap. I gotta, you know, somehow make more money. And God really had to show me the desires of my heart or what the motivations were. And it's in this time that I really came to understand Proverbs 16:3, where it says, commit your works to the Lord. And this idea of, you know, your works isn't necessarily what you decide it is that you do for God. It isn't, I see something and I'm going to offer up to God. You know, God really has to, or I realized for me, God really had to show me what my works really should be, what I should be committing to the Lord. Because a lot of times we say, I'm going to do this for you. And I touched on this previously. It has to be something pleasing to the God, pleasing to the Lord. God has to ask you, or we have to see where God is working before we offer up to him. We have to know, you know, what it is that God is asking us to do, what it is that God is asking us to commit to him. Because God doesn't want us just to, you know, if we say, God, I'm going to commit, you know, this business deal to you, but we're the profits of this business deal to you, but how we completed this business deal was very shady. Now, I don't think God wants us to commit those kind of works to him. And when we begin to commit these kinds of works, I guess honorable works, when we say, Lord, you know, I see what it is that you want me to do. I see that you just want me, like for me, it was, I need to let go of this idea of needing to make money. I need to let go of this idea of I need to know everything, and I just need to be faithful in learning and being humble and accepting the fact that I don't know everything from this industry. And just even in spite of that, dutifully doing what, you know, my boss wants me to do. When I start committing that, then my long-term plans will be established. This is not necessarily that my own desires will come to fruition. But really, when we start working for the Lord, he transforms our desires. He shapes how we see our lives wanting to be, how we want our lives to turn out. He establishes our plans. A lot of times in our lives, we think where our ways are clean in our own sight. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's pretty, it's a pretty harsh statement to make. No, we make a simple mistake. We think it's right, but the end is death. But I think that's what happens when we are bent, or not bent, but we are insistent on continuing in our own way, where we think, you know, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to do things, and I'm going to do things how I think they are right, or how, as it says in verse 2, how it is clean in my own sight, but it is in our own sight. And at the end of the day, it really leads us to pain and destruction. At the same time, when I was kind of struggling with work, I think I was actually really struggling with my marriage at the same time. And my wife is here, so she can attest to that. But because I was so insistent on going in my own way and not listening to God, that struggle bled into my marriage, where I was saying, you know, I know what to do. I know how to do these things. I know, you know, I know which way I want to go. You know, I'm going to do it myself. And that translated in how I treated Cora and how I interact with her. She would suggest something to me. I'm like, no, I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to set my own path. And it really hurt our marriage, because there's a lot, many, many times that she would say something, I would just dismiss her. I say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Or, you know, you're trying to give me advice on work. Like, what do you know? You're a teacher. You don't work in a professional world, or you don't understand how it is. And I really had to let go of that, because actually what ended up happening, but I could see that our marriage was going into a very difficult place, where it's actually almost at times unbearable for us to be in the same place. It's okay, I say that, right? Yeah. But I'm just making sure. Some of you might have heard saying, like, you know, some married people, they are not necessarily married. They're just roommates who have a contract between them. And at times it really felt like that, where there wasn't any joy and there wasn't any just life in our marriage. And that's where, you know, I really understand Proverbs 14:2 is like, or Proverbs 14:12, even though there is a way which seems right to man, in the end is a way of death. And it slowly crept into my life, where, you know, I couldn't let go. I couldn't commit my work to the Lord. I couldn't say to God, you know, I'm going to do this for you. When we begin to tell the God, like, Lord, you know, I don't want to do my own thing. Tell me what it is. Show me. And we have to be humble when he shows you. And there's a lot of times he's going to reveal more and more things to you, or you'll see the same kind of situations pop up. You'll see the same kind of tendencies. If, you know, for example, I've touched on this before in my EMPs. For me, there's a lot of times where I would just kind of have this anger build up and really want to come out, and like frustration, and then like I can't control it. I'm like, ah, you know. There's a lot of times where that happens, and it was only recently, probably last year, where I clued in, like, hey, maybe I have an anger problem. You know, maybe I have issues with controlling my emotions. But it was only in me humbling myself and realizing that God is allowing these things to pop up that I was able to recognize and deal with them. And a lot of times that takes humility and self-reflection and meditation in looking at our lives and like, oh, hey, these things are coming up quite often. Maybe God is asking me to deal with them. And, you know, similarly with my issues with anger and unable to control my emotions, a lot of times, you know, God might be showing you something. God might be, you know, it doesn't have to be improving yourself or changing something about yourself. It could be something in your life where you consistently see this one guy at work. Like, for whatever reason, he pops up. Like, you'll see him eating at his desk by himself, or you'll see him like, man, he looks kind of sad today. You know, maybe these are kinds of works that he wants you to do, that he wants you to engage in. Like, talk to this person, right? These are ways of how you can commit your works to the Lord, because he's showing you what it is that you should be doing. And when you commit yourself to him, when you say, like, Lord, it doesn't matter how I look, or I might seem like a fool going up and talking to this guy, it doesn't matter, I'm going to do it. And he slowly, in that way, changes how your plans are. Because as you do it, you see just how God moves and how and just how beautiful his plan is. See, when we commit our works to the Lord, when we just begin to, you know, take that one step and take that other step and take that third step, we really don't have to worry so much about what our long-term plans is, because we begin to see just how trustworthy God is and how he already knows how our life is going to turn out. Because God going, you know, God doesn't need, God isn't bound by time. So he already knows what's going to happen in our lives. And he's made plans for us that does not, you know, harm us, but is to prosper us. You know, if we take Jeremiah 29:11, he knows what, he knows how it turns out. So we begin to take those small steps, those long-term plans that we have, those long-term desires, how we want our lives to turn out, how we want our kids to turn out. You know, sometimes we worry and fear of like, man, I wonder if my kid's going to turn right. I wonder about how I'm going to provide for the education and all these sorts of things. And they're not bad things, but we begin to take those small steps. You know, all those things are already taken care of because we see just how faithful God is. So I can ask Nate. And so as we worship and pray today, just ask Holy Spirit for today, you know, what is these works that God is placing in front of you to do? It doesn't have to be big things. It can be very small things. But in these things, now ask him, what is it that you're asking me to do? And pray to him, ask him for a humble heart. Ask him for a humble heart to do it. And to do it with a cheerful heart. And just to offer up to him. So Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. And I just pray, God, that as we meditate, Lord, on your word, that we're able to commit our works to you, God, that we're able to come before you and to offer up to you, Lord, offer up to you our lives and say, God, we don't know what is best, God. Our judgment may be clouded, Lord. Our hearts may not have the right intention, God. And we just come before you to give it to you, Lord. And we ask, Father, for you to show us, God, where you are moving, God. Help us take that steps into your purposes and your plans, Lord. Thank you, God.
I decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Across the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me. No world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Everything, all I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my, and I will follow, my heart surrender. Jesus, I am yours, and I will follow my life in your hands. My Jesus, I am yours, and I will follow my heart surrender. My Jesus, I am yours, and I will follow my life in your hands. My Jesus, I am yours, and I will follow my heart surrendered. My Jesus, I am yours, and I will follow my life in your hands. My Jesus, I am yours. So don't go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing hand to be upon them and just continue for strength, physical strength, and also just mental strength. Let's pray for those in our community that are sick, that are going through various illnesses, and also have yet to receive the Christ into their lives. Let's pray for those in our community that are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand. And let's just rebuke those sicknesses, those illnesses in Jesus' name. Pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs. Let's ask for God's hand to open doors and just for surrender, even for brothers and sisters in this time, as difficult as it may be, the strength to surrender. Let's pray for Hong Kong, it's for the government, the wealth gap here in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for revival with all the believers in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the churches, Sports Service International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, all the Hong Kong students that are preparing for their exams and just going through the pressures of school. Let's pray for the domestic helpers and as well as families in distress. And the children, just pray for God to move in every single way throughout the city and throughout the people in the city. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray that we just work well and we're that faithful to what God has called us to do. Also pray for PSAM. He's away with his family. So just pray for safety as they travel back this end of this week. Let's just pray for blessings. Also on Mary. She's in Cameroon right now visiting her brother. Just pray for safety for her as well. Let's pray for the hospitality ministry. It's welcoming and barista. Let's pray that as these two ministries greet people from that come through our doors and offer our services, that people really feel welcomed. And you know, regardless of whether they stay at SP or not, that they really experience the love of God through this ministry. Pray for worship and sound ministries led by Pina and Pastor Ken and the AV team. Let's pray for heart of worship and just a heart to lead the congregation into worship and to be the best that they can be. Let's pray for the house churches tonight. First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, OPR, Soho, and Westville. Let's pray that as they discuss the sermon, that there's more revelation of God and that it's just a really sweet time of fellowship for the house churches tonight as they draw closer together. pray. God, we thank you, Lord, and we just pray, God, that as we commit our works to you, Father, that these works are pleasing in your sight, God, that we're not doing things that are right in our own eyes, God, that we're not just setting our plans, God, without coming to you, Father. Lord, we want our plans to succeed, God, but we know that they won't succeed without your saying so. That we know that they won't happen without your word. So, Lord, we turn to you, God. We look to you, Father. We thank you, God, for always speaking, always showing, God. Give us wisdom and discernment to see how it is you are moving and to hear your words, God. So we thank you, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here today, God. May you guide them, be with them through today and the work we got. We thank you. We love you. In your son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.